field. Lord, thank you. We're here again just to see what you have to say. Please allow us to learn something from you. Let us know you better. Let us know Christ better and the heart of Christ better so that we can be who you called us to be and do everything that you've given us life to do. We just appreciate the opportunity to be a part of your grand master plan, and we appreciate you ahead of time for everything that you're going to do. In the name of Jesus, amen. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm excited God gave me a good one just now, so I'm excited. Push that door for me. Yeah, I don't know who else is going to come there. Close it behind them. Ephesians chapter 4. You go to chapter 1 of your book. Once again, this book reading is going to be up on you, because I can't guarantee you we're going to get through this whole book. We'd have been, what is our third week? Third week, and we ain't got past page one, so most likely. And hopefully I better get into some other stuff. Remember that and I'm going to say this probably every week, that the church, we are the church. This is the church house, but we are the church. Without us, there would be no church. All right? We literally are the church. We are the movement. This building is nothing without us being here to bring life inside of it. Just as your home is nothing without you living in it to bring life inside of it. The same thing with the church building. So we have to realize that we are the church. We are the living, breathing, moving, acting, in faith church. We are the church. We are the church. Say it. We are the church. So we're the church. So the church is a live organism. It's a live thing. It's a living thing. It's not made with brick or mortar. It's a live, living thing in us. We must remember that. Church is not built on traditions, although the modern day church is built on traditions. The church that God intended for is not built on traditions. It's not built on religions. It's not built on any ideas that you have put together to sound church. It has nothing to do with any of that. The church is there to carry out God's will and God's plan. I remember we talked about it last week, that the church should model Jesus, not be about Jesus, but be Jesus. All right, y'all, stick with me. Not just being about him. All right, well, we get caught up. The church gets caught up being about Jesus. It's all about Christ. No, it's all about us being like Christ. All right, it's all about us having the attributes and the characteristics and the same flow and the same results and the same moves and the same love and the same ideas and concepts and the same understanding as Christ did, the same leadership by the Holy Ghost that Christ did. That is the point. That is being the church. All right, remember, Christ is the head of the church. In Ephesians chapter 5, it says, wives, submit to your husband, he's the head. And it said, like Christ is the head of the church. You remember, we went over last week. I know I'm going fast, but I just want to recap. I take too long recapping, we ain't going to get nowhere else. We said last week, he said, who do men say that I am? Some say Elias, some say one of the prophets. Peter said, but thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You remember that part? He said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father's in heaven revealed it. Close the door. My Father in heaven had to reveal this to you. So it had to be a revelation. Everybody say revelation. In order to understand what the church is, in order to really know Jesus, he's going to have to be revealed to you. He's not revealed to you. It is a yet unfolding. It's a constant revealing. It's a constant revealing of Jesus. Just because you accept him, you remember the day you prayed the prayer and accepted it into your heart? You didn't know him then. You were introduced. You met Christ that day. Are y'all with me? Do you remember the time? Well, I remember when I met the Lord. Y'all remember that? Right. You met him, but you know when you first meet somebody, you don't really know him. Huh? When you first meet somebody, you don't really know everything about them. So now, it's a lifelong journey to really get to know Christ. Because to know Christ is to know God, and we ain't going to never finish knowing that. Right? So now, it has to be, it's a quick point, but it has to be, Jesus is going to have to be revealed to you. All right? It's not going to be just you reading up on, he's going to have, the Holy Spirit is going to have to open up Jesus and reveal him to you. So now flesh and blood is not revealed to you, but my Father's in heaven. So now it's a revelation. Everybody say revelation. So Jesus is a revelation. He's not just a person that walked on the earth. He's not just a doctrine. It's a revelation. Open up to you, all right? Something that you didn't know and now you know. All right? It's a revelation. And he said, and thou art Peter. Remember he said that? Now most people missed this part. He said, and upon this rock I will build my church. All right, people thought he was going to build it on Peter. Where's Peter right now? With the Father. And he's a spirit in a spirit realm right now. He is no longer here. All right, but church must go on. You understand me? So he wasn't talking about, I'm going to build the church on Peter. Do you understand me? He's saying I'm the rock. Jesus is the rock. Jesus is the rock of my salvation. I don't know if y'all remember that song. Jesus is the old song. I'm the rock of my salvation. He's the rock. He's the rock. He is the rock. He is the chief cornerstone. All right, y'all ready? He's the one that the church is built upon. So now he's saying that my church will be built upon a revelation of me. Jesus said the church will be built upon a revelation of who I am. Well, who is Jesus? If we had a chance to have a conversation here and really talk about it and let you go one by one and explain who Jesus is to you without your religious colloquials and all your cute things that we say in church, who is Jesus? What is he really about? Was he just somebody to get beat and then die and get up? Or was there more to him? Who is Jesus? Think about it for a second. Who is he? If you don't know who is he or who he is, you really won't know how to be who you are. See, the Christ in you brings out the real you to the world. You think you know yourself, but you don't really know until you met Jesus. You don't know yourself till you know Jesus. We do all these different things, get to know. You know, you can't really know another person. You know Jesus. So when you start to know Jesus and you start to get a revelation of Jesus, you begin to get a revelation of who you are in Christ and who you are from Christ. Now, don't get it twisted now. I know we want to be individuals and we want to do all these different things, what God has called me to do and what God has called you to do and who God called you to be. But we all came from one place, and that is the God, the source. We all came from God. We all came from him. Remember that. All right? And so we are all still a part of him. It's his grand master plan. So you don't really know, when was it that the product was smarter than the maker? When was it that the product told itself what it was instead of the person that wrote out the plans for it to be made? It's never happened. It has never happened. You put a desk together. You ever put a desk together? You ever put anything together with some instructions? Huh? Have you ever put anything together? It didn't just get up and start putting itself together, did it? Huh? You had to find a manufacturer, get it brought in, then they got instructions that they put, thank you for the Bible, they got instructions that they put there for you to put that together and for it to be made in the image. For it to be made in the image that it was created for. If I need a desk, it doesn't make any sense for me to end up with a chair. If the desk is the thing that I need, I gotta follow the instructions to make sure it comes out looking like a desk and not like a chair. Many of us don't know who we are. And we don't know where we're supposed to be. And we don't know what we're supposed to be doing because we don't know the maker. We do not know Christ. How well do you know him? I know you've been in church a long time, but how well do you know him? Understand me. The Lord showed me something a minute ago just out on the balcony. I just wasn't even looking for it, but he showed me something. Ephesians chapter 4. So I had to go over these things and realize that the church is a replication or a duplication of Christ. It should be, that's what Christians, when the Christian was used first in the book of Acts. Christian, it's almost like if you're a Galatian, you're from Galatia. If you are an American, you're from America. All right. So now if you're a Christian, you're from Christ. That is not a name to say that you're more holy than somebody else. It is not a name for you to wear on a t-shirt so that you can say, we all Christians, so we get together. No. I'm from Christ. I'm supposed to be like a little Christ. I'm supposed to be from the nation of Christ. And when you come from somewhere, where are you from? All right, think of it. When you come from somewhere, there's certain characteristics and culture that you built into your system. You know, some people talk, we get to talking over here and all of get to talking, we probably all got different accents. Maybe not foreign, but we got an accent. I know I'm from Gosmer, so there's a certain way I talk. When I go up north, they say, boy, look, you got an accent. It's just the way it is, because that's where I'm from. That's how the people around me talked. So that's what I picked up. It was nothing that I could do about it. I'm just going to talk that way because that's where I'm from, and I ain't really ashamed of it. If we get to know Jesus, we get to talking like him and sounding like him and having the same accent with no effort. See, understand me. I gotta get paid. Understand me. We've got to take this time to get to know him. Because when we get to know him, we'll walk effortlessly in his steps. You never saw Jesus struggling to do anything. Think about it for a second. Get the power. No, he ain't gotta do none of that. You never saw him pray as long as we pray? Huh? You know, I'm talking about the beginning prayers. When we're blessing the food or when we're praying. Think about your meal. Next time you pray over your food, think about your prayer over your meal, and then think about Jesus' prayer over the meal. He fed those 5,000, which ended up being almost 15,000 people. You count children and women, about 15,000 people. He broke bread and said, thanks. You know, we said, Father, I just want you to bless the maker of the food and bless the hands that cook the meal. And God, I just want you to thank you for, you know, take sickness and disease from my midst. And did you plead the blood already? Because if you plead the blood already, you might be all right already. Just tell him thank you. I ain't trying to tell you how to pray over your food. I'm just saying we didn't see him pray as long as we do to try to get some power going. Y'all know we pray them long prayers that hopefully within the first minute or the minute and a half, we get some power in there somewhere, because when we started, we didn't have none. Tell the truth. If we tell the truth, that's how it goes. No. No, we should be connected already. It should be a connection already. All right. Right now, in this moment, you don't feel no heebie-jeebies, no goosebumps, none of that right now, huh? You don't feel none of that, huh? I'll just make sure you don't feel it, right? You're just sitting in the regular room, right? Are you connected to God now or not? Huh? Are you connected to Christ right now or not? So why are we praying to get connected? Why are we praying to get some power when we got power? See, your prayer are really for you to get on the right mind frequency and the frequency of Jesus, so that you'll know who you are already. Not who you're trying to be or who you're trying to become. People want to become I want to be a pastor. I want to be a this and this. No. You already got the power on the inside of you. You already are. Say, I already am. Come on, say it again. I already am. Come on, say it again. I already am. You already are the church. There's nothing that you're going to do. When you finish your school, you're going to know some more things that's going to open your mind up more to walk more like Christ, but you're already connected. Do y'all understand me? You are already connected. All I'm doing is ministering to you about your connection. Maybe some part of the line of the connection you ain't been revealed to yet. There's no point, but you're already connected. You already got the power. If we get to know him better, we'll begin to walk effortlessly as he walked and start to have the same results, and we'll talk with the same accent as our motherland, as our native land, right? Are y'all with me when I say that? I'm not talking about where you're from right now. I'm not talking about Baton Rouge or wherever you're from. I'm talking about your native, where you really come from. Before you came out of the womb, huh? Before you was in your mama belly, where you really came from. Something to think about, huh? You're the same one. You're the same one that God called, put you into a physical body, put you into your parents' womb. You're the same one. You come from that same place. You come from God. But now our minds have got to be open. We've got to see Jesus so that our minds can open so we can see who we are. If we don't never see who we are, ain't nobody get delivered. I'm over that. I'm over the games, and I'm over whatever you think you read the Bible for. I'm over for whatever you think you're going to the church house for. I'm over all that stuff. I'm trying to get to know Jesus. You got to get to know him better. Once you know him, you know you. Once you know you, you know what to do. Confusion comes from the fact that you don't know Christ. He's there. He's in the house. He's on the inside, huh? He's on the inside. He's in the house. But you don't ever talk to him. You'll never sit down at his feet and see what's going on. We were talking about that last week. Being cumbered about much serving. Being cumbered about much serving and never sitting at the master's feet. You know, you can have a 30-year anniversary, a 40-year anniversary, and then 20-year anniversary. How long you been in ministry? For so many years. And how long you been in ministry? I've been in there for 15 years. I've been a minister for 22 years. I don't know how long I've been literally been a minister for years, for years, for years, for years. You know, you can do all that, get cumbered about much serving and don't get nothing done. How'd it make you feel? I never want that to happen. I don't want to get to the end line or to the point and then realize I passed some stuff up because I was caught up on what I was trying to do for Jesus and not getting to know him. I mean, the Bible didn't say about trying to do nothing for Jesus. Where we get that from? Religion? Tradition? Huh? Religion and tradition. The traditions of men have made the word of God of none effect. The traditions, just getting caught up in everything else, but the way that he did it. I said it last week and I'll say it again. Jesus ain't do nothing the same way all the time. One basic principle. John chapter 9, we'll go back to Ephesians 4. One basic principle. 5. John chapter 5, verse 30. One basic principle. We're going to look at it in another place in verse 8 because Jesus kept on telling them this and they didn't get what he was saying. He kept on telling them how he was functioning like he was functioning, but they didn't understand. Apostle Thompson keep on saying how God did everything that he did here in this ministry, but we don't get what he's saying sometimes because we still do it how we want to do it. Listen to me. John chapter 5, verse 30. You read. Ready to read. All right, we're going to read together. Ready? Read. Uh-oh. Hold on. It's red in my Bible. Is it red in anybody's Bible? It's red. That sounds funny coming from Jesus' mouth. Think about, come on, use your head, because I'm living by the book. Y'all took that last year, because use your imagination. He right there talking to you. Tan guy. You know, he's tan skin. You know, he's from the Middle East, so he's tan skin guy. He says his eyes like fire. Had like, what's he talking to you? He's sitting there talking to you. And he tells, now you just saw him. Open up some eyes. Let's just say, and I don't know what part we in John. I don't know where we at if the eyes of Matthew or whatever, but we know he opened eyes, all right? So he just opened up eyes. He just went over there and Lazarus was in the grave stinking already. He just told him to get up and Lazarus got up. So we done seen the miracles. We ain't never seen nothing like this in the history of life. And this man come to you and say, you saw him use his hands to do it though. He come to you and talk to you and say, I of my own self can do nothing. What kind of humility is this? That's another level. That's another level of humility. You know, humility only means I totally depend on God. It ain't got nothing to be, oh, baby. You know, people say, he did a good job. Oh, praise the Lord. No, none of that, because you can do, oh, praise the Lord, and still be inside talking about, I know, I killed him tonight. You know, so it's possible. So nobody don't care about all that. Humility means you totally depend on God. You know you ain't nothing, no way. Without him, right? If you don't understand your identity in Christ, you have no identity. There's no way to verify who you are, all right? So he sit down and he says, I of myself, look at it. I of my own self can do how much? No. He said, 50% is me and 50% is God. We 33, 33, 33, the Trinity, me, the Trinity, we split it up 33% apiece. I do 33% of it, then the Holy Spirit do 33, and then God, no, what he said? Me and my own, I can do what? What, how much is nothing? I can't do nothing. Oh, Jesus said I can't do nothing to myself. Come on, we find it out. I can do nothing to myself. As I hear what? All right, but ain't gonna be no, stop judging if you ain't heard nothing. Come on, church. That'll preach in every church in America. Stop judging if you ain't heard it. And I ain't talking about heard it from the gossip line. As I hear from the Spirit, I judge. You ever judge somebody wrong? Come on. Amen, everybody. Go ahead and say your amen. You're judging wrong. You looked at them because they're wearing a certain thing, or because they didn't look like you, because they had a certain way that they said things, or they wasn't talking like you talk, and now you judged them. Ain't heard nothing, but you judged them. I, my own self, can do nothing. And that statement also means I, my own self, will do nothing. All that goes in the same statement. I'm not going to do nothing. If I can't do nothing, I'm not going to do nothing. Lord told me a long time ago, I said this in my class last year, I said it again, he said, in prayer on Monday night, he said, what you can't do, you can't do. Don't sound deep, but it's one of the realest things I've ever heard in my life. Because what you can't do, You can't go outside and pick up this building. Go do it. Can you do that? What you can't do, you can't do it. That's not even a conversation. You're gonna look at me crazy like, what are you talking about? Because what you can't do, you already can't do it. So I know if I can't do it, there's no way that I'm gonna do it, right? Unless some kind of supernatural power comes upon me to give me an enablement to do. All right? And this life that God has for us to live, while I be reading these promises, I'm like, Lord, how do we do that? How do I walk in love and tell somebody about themselves? Right, right, right. You ever thought about that before? How do I love my neighbor as I love myself? How do I love my enemies? Oh, how am I going to do that? How am I going to do all these things that he's telling me, all these things that he's telling me, he commanded me to do? What you can't do. You can't do it. He said, what you can't do, you can't do it. All right, Jesus, duh. Yeah, Lord, I understand. Yeah, you right. He said, but what you can do, do that. What can I do? I can go learn more about Jesus. I can put myself in a position where I get closer to him. I can put myself in a position where I know him better than I've ever known him before and avail myself to him. You know, it's almost like the glory. You know, the faith, anointing, and the glory. I heard an apostle say this. He said, you know, you can't make the glory do nothing. You can't make the glory show up in a room. You can't make the glory show up in a service. And for the life of me, I wonder why people think that what they do make the glory shows up. God shows up when he want to show up. But what I can do, you ain't got a good enough voice to make God want to move. Y'all get what I'm saying? As big as got it. But he said, what you can do, he said, you can put yourself in a position and do something to invite the glory. And when he decides to show up, he'll show up. You get what I'm saying? So what you can't do, you can't do it. But what you can do, do that. He said, then he said this. He said, and I'm going to do the rest. So now when he said, I myself can do nothing. In other words, I can't do it. That means, unless something else give me some supernatural power, it ain't going to get done. But yeah, stuff was getting done, wasn't it? I, my own self, can do nothing. As I hear, and my judgment, oh, he wanted to make it clear. So you know he's not just talking about regular judge. Y'all, come on, we got to read the Bible, y'all. If we read this Bible, take our time and stop trying to conquer this word and stop trying to read it to go get a message or something like that. Y'all know we talked about that last year, Living by the Book. If we start reading it to conquer it and read it to really see what it's saying, we'll see how clear Jesus was being about the stuff he was saying. He said, as I hear, I judge. Uh-oh, because the Bible said, judge not that you be not judged. Uh-oh. Huh? See, you got to write and divide the word. But there's another scripture saying, he that is spiritual judges all things. Uh-oh. As I hear, I judge. And then he said, my judgment is just. Uh-oh. What's the next line? Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Stop. The stuff that you're doing, what you doing it for? What you? You to get your papers? What you going to be here for? This is going to be your second year, huh? You've been going to school for 2 years. For what? Trying to validate your ministry? Hold on. Don't answer me right now. Don't answer me. Don't say that to me. You trying to validate your ministry? You trying to validate your calling? You trying to get a little bit under your belt before you go start doing what you're going to do? What's the point? Uh-oh. I want to preach this in church. What you here for? What's the point? Because I can't do nothing of myself. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just because I seek not my own will. Don't get caught up, people of God. We're getting caught up on your own will. It's real tricky. See, the enemy will get you caught up on your own will and think that your will is getting something done and you get nothing done. You're going to start a church because you wanted to start a church and you don't do nothing. I see it all day long. Y'all see it. Tell everybody in church, they ain't doing nothing. Y'all know they ain't doing nothing. Huh? I heard a message talking about sedition. Are you familiar with the word sedition? Are you familiar with the word sedition? Right? Nobody's familiar with the word sedition. I think, Ryan, you might. Your dad taught on this years back. Dad apostle taught on this years back. Sedition. You know what sedition is? Sedition. It's in the Bible. Okay, so you look it up. It's in the Bible. So don't do that. Sedition. You look at the word sedition. It means when you're trying to overthrow, when somebody's in an authority or in a kingdom and they're trying to do everything to overthrow that kingdom, overthrow that king. That means if you be in this church, and you're trying to get other people to turn against the pastor. It's sedition. You're trying to start your own ministry in somebody else's ministry? It's sedition. You're trying to do your thing and have your own agenda in somebody else's calling? Sedition. And I heard a statement the other day, and I don't really do the numbers too much, but it says that almost 70% of churches today were started in the spirit of sedition. So that means, all right, let's go back, sedition. That means I'm in somebody else's ministry trying to start my ministry. I'm in there trying to do my, key word in this, is not ministry, it's about my. Well, this is key, that's the key thing, right? And so now I'm inside trying to do my own thing. I'm in there trying to do my own thing. So now it starts from my will. But the script, the prayer says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's the Lord's prayer said, huh? It don't say, my kingdom come. No, it says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. All right. So now, what did he say? For I seek not my own will. Now, the reason that this ministry is where it is, and any ministry that you see that's bearing fruit is where it is. Don't get me on fruit. I'm not even going to talk about what fruit really looks like, all right? Because, you know, some things, you ever walk in somebody's house and they had a bowl, looked like a fruit bowl, but they had that plastic fruit in there? Anybody ever grab one and try to bite it before? Right, you probably never did, but as a kid you would have. You go grab it and it'd be wax or something like that. Yeah. Everything that looked like fruit ain't fruit. I can go take a piece of plastic, paint it red, and put a little green leaf on it, make it look like an apple. But you bite it. Bite it and see what you get. Rot your teeth out. All right, so don't let me get on fruit. I ain't got no time to get on that. All right. But any ministry that's bearing bona fide, real fruit, all right, was called by the will of the Father and not by somebody really wanting to do it. I got a zeal for ministry. I do. I have a zeal to help people. But some of the stuff, I ain't really trying to put my will out there because I already know. I'd be like, God, listen, what you want? What's your plan? What you want to get done? I asked God that a long time ago. He threw a bunch of stuff at me. And I was like, hold on, Jesus. Calm down. Let me breathe. Because it can't, I'm not set up, I'll be a pastor one day, boy. Boy, if I could be a pastor. I swear, boy, if I could just be a pastor, boy, and I get about 300 members, I'd be good. You don't even understand. You don't even understand what that entails. You don't wish upon those things. You are endowed with power from on high for that. That calls you. You don't call that. All these giftings calls you. You don't call that. That's not something you have at career day. I'm going to be an apostle one day. They don't have that's not how that works. You don't watch yourself. I'm talking to you, all right? It's ministry school, right? Are we at ministry school or not? All right, understand is that it'll get you caught up and you'll be seemingly to do a good thing, but it ain't a God thing. I know that's cliche, but it's a real statement, all right? You'll be seemingly doing something that seems to be good, but God ain't got his hand on it. And you'll be doing it for years until you realize you went the wrong way. Are y'all listening to me? It's very easy to seek your own will and saying it's about Jesus. Not selfish. Everybody say selfishness. Everybody say selfishness. Come on, say it. Now, we think selfish is I got a piece of bread and I don't want to give you a piece. Right? I got $20 and I'm about to go eat. I don't want to share no money with you. That's what we think it is, huh? All right, quick, you ready? I'm gonna say something. I want you to think of this. Think of what a selfish person would do. Think about it for a second. All right, you got all these kind of thoughts in your head about what a self person would do. They just get in the car on their own. They're not thinking about you. They lead. They ain't thinking. Right. You think nasty person. A self person, you think a nasty person. I just ain't nice at all, huh? No, nice people can be selfish too. Some of the nicest people come to be the most selfish. We got to get deep. I'm not talking about walking around like you don't know what's going on, but we have to get deep-rooted in God's will and deep-rooted in knowing who Jesus is and deep-rooted in what this word really means, all right? Because we let him pull the wool over our eyes and say different things about selfish and mean, but no. And so it trick you when somebody's nice. You think they're not selfish. or they act like they're giving you something. And you think they're not selfish. No. You and I can be selfish. You know, selfish really is, the root of selfish is not about a demeanor, it's not about a smile, none of that. Selfish really is, it's all about you. Everything you do is rooted around you. You can smile and be friendly, I can say good morning to you, right? But it's all rooted around me. Look at them. I pass by and they ain't even speak to me. Did you speak to them? Look at them turning their nose up at me. How did you turn your nose? If everything that you do is to validate you, then you're missing the point. If you're here for validation, then you're missing the point. Second year, I should have told y'all that last year, huh? If you're here to try to validate your calling, you ain't got none. Are y'all catching that? It's all about, all this is his stuff. We're stewards. All this ministry, all these gifts, all this anointing, all this glory, all these titles, that's for him. That ain't for you. The moment that you get that, and the moment that you understand that, God will start using it. Go ask the apostle. Ask anybody that's bearing some fruit. No, they didn't have it in their book. I know apostle. You ask apostle, but you ever heard apostle tell this story? But before he got born again, you ever heard him? Anybody ever heard him? Have any of y'all ever heard his story? But when you talk about before he was born again, you know he wasn't looking. My daddy used to race cars. Drag race? He used to race cars. He was a barber by profession. He wasn't thinking about none of that. And God called him and snatched him up from where he was. Stuff ain't pop off the next day, though. Y'all know that, right? And so he came up overnight, he said, it was the longest night ever. But God snatched him up out of there, and then he kept talking to him. He kept listening, and God kept talking to him. And so now the fruit is because of what God decided to do with the yielded vessel, not with the vessel that was hungry after the light. Are y'all with me? Or hungry after what you, boy, if I can get ordained, man, I can do some things. You know what? If I can get a license to minister, boy, I can really make some changes. What you doing now? I talked to somebody the other day and I sent a message out. I said, what? And I want to ask you, what is it that we're doing literally? Now, you know, we want to go off in the ministry. People want to go off into the mission field. Your mission field next door. I had a cousin, it's amazing, but apostle, he tripped me out every time. Just when I think I get to know him, he tripped me out. We were sitting at the table after church, he just preached. We stayed here till 1 yesterday, listen to testimony, it was just long service. And we were sitting at the table, and my cousin and his wife started talking to us about a next door neighbor that they had, and the daughter was having problems. She seemed like she was being oppressed by the enemy, and different things were going on, and different things were happening. And so Dad sat there and we were giving, we were giving ideas about, tell her to listen to this, tell her to show him the glory. And we said different things. And the apostle sat there like this for a minute. He talked for a little while and he said, you think they really want to help their daughter? Help their daughter? And she said, yeah. He said, get on the phone, call her. If she open, I'll come over there right now. Got in the car and went over there and ministered to the young girl. Right at that direct moment. What was I talking about before then? How did I get over there? What were we talking about before then? Your mission field next door. Yeah, thank you. I forgot where I was going. Your mission field is next door. You ain't got to go to Africa. Some of y'all go down the street and you literally know it's down the street, huh? Forget that. Y'all ain't got to go down the street from where you at. We'll get in the van. I'll take you down the street from where we at right now. Straight mission field. I'm gonna go start off ministry. Wanna go, boy, when I get my ministry and I get my nonprofit and I get all this going, then we really gonna get going. What are you doing now? I sent a message out to some people that was close to me. How you affecting the community right now? What Jesus are you showing to the people that you connected to right now? I'm talking about getting their spiritual and praying in tongues in your office. I'm talking about what Jesus are you showing around the people around you now? Well, I wanna go do some things for young girls and we're going to start a nonprofit. Once we get that going, then we're going to, I said, no. I understand a nonprofit. Praise the Lord for the name and, whatever you want to call it. But are you doing it now? Are you doing it? Nah. You know you're already a minister. You know that, right? Y'all graduated in May, right? But you're a minister, nah. You don't need a reverend. You don't need a license or ordination. You in Ephesians 4 it said, we are all able, you are already a minister. So are you passing it out though? I asked the Lord, I said, oh, you start talking about the work of ministry, I'm getting ahead of myself. How much time I got, Ms. Robin? I don't know. About 15 minutes. The work of the ministry. Edifying for the body. Go, Ephesians 4. Yeah, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. We'll keep turning, and I'm going to read this one. It's in verse 31, it says, in John chapter 5, it says, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Whoa! Do y'all hear that statement? And Jesus said it. We know he the Savior, don't we? Who we know Jesus to be? Savior, Son of living God, Savior of my soul, my healer, my redeemer, right? He said, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Jesus said that. What you think you got to say? Uh-oh. Ephesians chapter 4, and I found out something. I don't know if it's, it might not be that deep. I don't know. Ephesians chapter 4. I therefore, the prison Lord beseech that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, long suffering, forbearing what? Forbearing who? One another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit of bond and peace. There's one body, one spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's above all and through all and in you all. Y'all see that? One God and Father who is above all, through all, and in all, in you all. Y'all see that, right? But unto every one of us, read verse 7, ready, read. Wherefore he said, when he ascended upon high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it also that he descended first to the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Verse 11, he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers. Verse 12, for what? What does it mean to be perfected? Maturing, to grow up. For the saints to grow up. He sent these gifts to grow you up, to grow us up, okay? Are y'all with that? For the perfecting of the saints. What's the second thing? Come on, you skip one. No, what's the second one? For the work of the ministry. What is the work of the ministry? All right, reconciliation. We minister reconciliation, right? Come on, what is the work? Come on, what is the work of ministry? Come on. What's the work of ministry? Y'all don't know? What's the work of ministry? You thought it was just, what you thought it was? Come on, what's the work of ministry? Huh? I mean, what's the work of, the minister? All right, when you minister, you know what minister mean, right? The word minister comes from administration, minister. That means the original, when I looked up the word ministry, you know, they fooled us and made us think this is about the building and about the clergy. That's what it says, the clergy. No. The word minister means to pass out. The original, to pass it out. So now we are all able to pass our outers. All right, now we're talking about the will of God. So, all right, if we're talking about the will of God, if we're talking about the work of the ministry, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, if we're talking about the will of God, that's what we're talking about, the will of God, right? We're talking about, well, what is God's will? To pass it out. What are we passing out, though? Huh? Come on, I'm asking. Reconciliation is good. It's good. All right, because what we think we're passing out? Jesus Christ, right? We think we flow with me. You get them born again. Right? Right. You call that witnessing, huh? Huh? Yo, how are we going to get them born again? You gonna talk to him? What you gonna tell him? Uh-oh, church unusual. Oh, this wasn't in our class. It wasn't in our ministry class, huh? You gonna tell him about Jesus? What he did? Who he is? You gonna introduce him? You gonna introduce him to Jesus? How you gonna do that? By the Holy Spirit. That's a good answer. That's a good answer. She gave me a good answer. By the Holy Spirit, what are you gonna make you do? Come on. How you gonna introduce Jesus? Now, your normal way would, John 3:16, they for God so loved the world, right? Y'all quote the scripture, huh? All right, for sure. Romans 10:9-10 says, if you confess your mouth, the Lord Jesus. That's the one we go to, huh? All you got to do is confess it right now, right? How are you going to introduce Jesus to him? You just told him a story. You just read a scripture out of the book about Jesus. How do you introduce Jesus? Where does he live? Where does he live? I said, I started asking, right before I came to class, I said, what's the work of the ministry? My mind went straight there. Get them saved. Right? Get them to accept Jesus in their heart. And he said, well, why do they need to accept? He said, what's the point of them accept Jesus in their heart? I said, because if they accept Jesus in their heart becomes his. Y'all don't hear me? When they accept Jesus in their heart, when you accept Jesus, their heart become his. No. I don't think you hear me yet. I'm gonna say it again. When they accept Jesus in their heart, when you accept Jesus in your heart becomes his. Not hand me this Bible. Not your heart becomes his like he's holding your heart, like he owns your heart, although he does, but your heart becomes his heart. Like, I'm trying to describe it. Are y'all with me? Your heart transforms to his heart. Your heart changes from my, it's not my trail heart no more. This Jesus heart. And so now what kind of love Jesus heart give? What kind of results does Jesus heart give? When I gave my heart to Christ, my heart became his. It transformed from my ways to his ways. So now if I really introduce him to Jesus, I gotta introduce the characteristics too. So if you're hungry, I gotta feed you. If you're sick, I gotta minister here. Just witnessing. Come on, here's the problem. We keep reading these people these scriptures. They done heard these scriptures already. You know, it's all over the internet right now. You know, you can find John 3:16. You don't have a secret. I don't know why. Yeah. Your lifestyle. You don't have a secret that nobody can't get to. You probably don't have a secret that ain't heard. Jesus is a known name all across the world. There's probably not one person that hadn't heard the name of Jesus if they just got born a couple seconds ago. So what else you got though? I heard that name before. I heard Jesus before. Have you ever met him? How are they gonna meet him though? Do you? So my heart, when I became born, my heart became his. So I began to give the characteristics. This is the work of the ministry. So now when I approach, they're not going to see me no more. They're going to see him. They'll experience the love of God. Why would anybody tell God no? Think about this for a minute. Somebody said they're going to forgive you all your sins and forget them like they never happened. Then I'm going to protect you. I'm going to keep you. I gave you a Holy Ghost. I gave my only, he didn't have a whole slew of kids. I gave my only son just for you so he can die and then get up just so you can be one of my sons too. All right, I'm going to do all this. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to prosper you. I'm going to keep you healed. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to take care of your kids. I'm going to give you kids. Then I'm going to take care of your kids. I'm going to do all these great and mighty things. Then I'm going to come let you live with me in heaven in the celestial city. I'm going to let you do all these things. Why would I say no to this? Why are they saying no? Because they're reading them scriptures. You read them a dry word, and we're going to the go-to. John 3:16. Romans 10:9-10. This ought to get them right here. Then you start telling them about what your pastor know. What you know? That's church. Everybody say church. That's church. When you meet him, you introduce him to him. How you going, where he stay at? If he stays, if I got to introduce somebody outside that door, but we inside. Somebody's outside, but I want to introduce him to you. Tell me your first name. Carolyn. I like your name. That's my mama's name. I like your name. I want to introduce you. I almost want to call you Miss Carolyn. I'm Miss Carolyn. Introduce you to Miss Carolyn. All right? I got a... They can, and I know we got glass right now, but they outside, but I want to introduce them to you. You inside. They outside, but I need to introduce them to you. But you inside. All right? Well, the only way that I can introduce somebody on the outside to somebody on the inside is if I open up. How open you been? How open have you been? Now, we at church people are very closed off. If you don't look like us, if you don't go to my church, we just closed off with each other's churches. If you don't go to my church, you don't worship like me, you don't sing like me, your pastor don't preach like mine, I ain't got nothing to do with you. We got clans. Then we very closed off. So that's why the church is not getting beat down, the door's not getting beat down, because we very closed off people. We're not open to be able to minister. If I don't open the door, then Jesus can't walk out and say, hi, I'm Jesus. You know if you let the Holy Spirit open you up more, your conversion rate will be higher. Are y'all with me for a second? Like the people that you witness to, more of them will come to Christ when they meet him. They don't really need to meet me. I'm not the one. I got ugly ways. You do too. Amen. Oh, y'all don't want to say amen for that one, huh? You get y'all. Oh, everybody here got some ugly ones. Attitudes, we got feelings, we got all the different stuff. We got judgment, all the different stuff we got in us by ourselves. But Jesus don't see no color, no creed, no none of that. Jesus just sees a person that needs to come back to where they originally came from. Jesus only sees a brother and a sister that just don't know they're a brother and a sister. They don't realize who they are. They're not connected. That's what he sees. What you see when you see people? Right, now, if you knew Jesus better, you'd see better. When I gave my heart to Christ, it became his. Is it really his? Some people got to get saved again or something. Because if that conversion didn't take place, I was talking to a friend, and I said, I don't know, I don't understand how people don't have a burning sensation for other people. How you don't have a burning? How you sit there and just do it? You go follow your five-year plan. Go accomplish all your goals and don't have, I wake up thinking about these people. What people? Whatever one God gonna put on my path. I got it on my mind. Like it's, I can't get over it. It's not something that I can accomplish and get over. It's just there. I know Jesus had to be the one that put it there. And he didn't just put it in me, he put it in all of us. But until we get a revelation, huh? It's in there, but it got to be uncovered. And when it's uncovered, you burn for it. You be on fire for it. And then you can introduce Jesus to people, really. Not with your tracks. You know with your tracks? You know what I'm talking about, the tracks? Pass out the tracks? No, the tracks. He in here. What you need a track for he in here? Y'all see the stuff? Y'all see the stuff we've been doing? Are y'all with me for a second? Y'all see what we've been doing? And we thought we was witnessing. We thought we was doing the work of the ministry. For the perfecting the saints, for the work of the ministry. And it says, what's that last line? For the edifying of the body of Christ. Them apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, what they're doing, they're trying to teach us how to introduce Jesus to them so that we can, the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, and the edifying. What edifying means? The build up, huh? The build up, we think it's just being strong, build up. No. You build up. You add on to. You build up. Edifying of the body of Christ. Amen. I put on that, leave you with this one, and I tried to type it in my phone, and the doggone spell check, but spell check be helping me out sometimes. I put in my phone, I said, what's the point? They accept Jesus in their heart so that their heart becomes his heart. Remember you said that just a minute ago? Then it says, I tried to put, so now the attributes of Christ begin to live within us, but my spell check put love. So now the attributes of Christ begins to love within us. Outreach. It ain't church till it's helping somebody else. Outside the building.